Wow. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Mary. I told him in the first service, I've got a word for you this morning, but this is more about family than it is about me preaching a great message. And gives me a good excuse if this is not a great message. It was just a family discussion. Wow. To sum up what has happened in the past 8 years is beyond my vocabulary and my ability to express. I have we have people here today that's been a part of our life for the past 30 years. Some of them I was their pastor for many years and have joined us today, for which I'm honored and grateful. And the contribution that each and every one of you have made to our lives has just been incredible. And I want to say this right up front, we're not leaving CFTN, we're taking CFTN with us to Puerto Rico and points beyond. I've told Pastor Mary and Pastor Mike and Pastors Bob and Debbie this many times. I've said, if you ever decide you don't want me on the staff, that's perfectly fine, but I'm just giving you a warning up front that I'm not leaving. I'll be sitting in a pew still worshiping and being a part of CFTN. That's how strongly I feel about this church and the ministry that's going on here. It is powerful. It is life-changing. And I've been so honored to be a part of it over these past 8 years. It was in 2007 that some of the people sitting here today heard me say that I was retiring, and I just have to tell you, I've worked harder in the past 8 years and loved it every bit as much as I ever have. So many of you, goodness, I was thinking about this, and so many of you have invited me into the pain of your life. You've invited me into the areas of shame in your life. You've invited me into your fears, to your anxieties. And we've watched God do some powerful things. Some of you think I'm a genius. Sometimes I think, where did that come from out of my mouth? Because I knew I didn't think of it. But God just gives me a word and I get the credit. But we all know that it comes from God. And we've seen some lives so turned around that it's on a biblical proportion that you could write it in the same testimonies that we have in the Bible, and you would shine as brightly as those testimonies that we have from the Word of God. And I've been so honored to be a part of all of that. And yes, we will be coming back from time to time and continuing what we're doing here. In fact, you'll be hearing more about this later. We have a number of people that's been trained through Life Impact that are now Life Impact Life Coaches that are going to be made available to the congregation to keep going what we have been doing here. And we got some great people that have committed themselves, invested in themselves to be a part of this. And so we're very excited about that, to see it continue. I'm not big on promoting my products, but we've got a table out there with some of our stuff on it. We have a limited supply of these books left. I've got to order some more. They'll continue to be in the bookstore, but Who's Behind the Mask is really part of my life story, as well as what we do in our seminars. And I'd like to give this to somebody this morning that would promise to read it. You promise to read it right here in the white blouse. Yes. All right. Your hand shot up first. So let me give that to you. Thank you. God bless you. And I wrote a couple of little workbooks. They're self-coaching books. One's called The Identity Project, The DNA of Strength and Courage. I got this one morning while Pastor was preaching. I was there in my place, and the Lord, Pastor referred to Joshua about being strong and of good courage. And the Holy Spirit asked me a question. We all know he knows the answer, right? But he asked me a question. What does that look like? What is the DNA of strength and courage? And so he gave me, and I put it in this little workbook. I made it small on purpose. And it's in a workbook form. If you just read it, it won't do you any good. You got to do the work that's in the workbook. But it's really the DNA of strength and courage. And he gave me four pillars of strength and courage that will sustain you through everything that you go through. So we have some of those out there today for you. I spoke a few times on it here in the church service, and we've captured that, and Marty's made it available on DVD and CD. So in this packet is the DVD of me preaching as well as a CD, so you can listen to it in the car, that goes along with the workbook. I'd like to give this away to somebody that promises to read it and listen to it. All right? First hand that went up is right here. So I'm going to give that to you. God bless you. I hope you enjoy it. And don't listen to the CD. I wouldn't watch too much of the DVD. It wears me out. Can't hardly watch myself on tape. One of the seminars I've done a number of times here is called Unlocking the Image of God in You. It's the biblical point of view of the DISC profile, the personality behavioral style that I've taught so much here. And somebody would really like to promise to watch this right here. The white blouses are catching my eye today. So you are. All right. God bless you. All right. And then the second book that I did on I call it the Identity Project. The other was the DNA of Strength and Courage. This one is the Identity Project, A Case of Mistaken Identity. And we go through all the ways that the enemy tries to steal your true identity. Your identity gets hijacked. We have a section in here called the sniper of your identity, which is shame. And we deal with that and the identity theft, and how that sometimes your identity gets hijacked by family members. It's a great little workbook that'll just keep you moving forward. And so I'd like to give I haven't done anything over here. Here's somebody in a green blouse. I'll go with the teal instead of the white this time. All right. Bless you. Thank you. All right. Somebody right here in this section. The gentleman right back here. All right, he's got a white shirt on. Telling you, white's catching my eye. All right, God bless you. I hope you enjoy that. There's some more product available to you out there on the table. See Felicia after the service, and she'll be happy to help you with that. And it goes toward everything that we're doing, everything that I've done here at CFTN in terms of the seminars. All of that goes into our missions trips, things that we've been doing, and the opportunities that we have had. Again, to express my feelings this morning is beyond my vocabulary and beyond my ability to be able to tell you how that I'm feeling. I never dreamed that at this time in our life we would be starting a new chapter. I thought this was it, and I was perfectly okay with that, being a part of CFTN right here and continuing to do what I do. But God put something else in our heart, and we're so excited. In fact, I'm going to have Sharon come up and just greet you this morning before I get started and have her just share with you. Some people think I'm dragging her off to Puerto Rico.
No, actually, I'm happily going by his side, and he couldn't leave without me if he tried. I can tell you that the Lord had a calling on my life even when I was a little girl. There was two older ladies that would walk in front of my house, and since I was an only child, an adopted child, I talked to everybody that went by our house walking. And they must have told me they were going to church. And I wanted to go to church too. I'd not been to church. And I told my mom, I said, I want to go to church. And she said, well, you have a cousin next door. She goes to church. You can go with her. She didn't want to go. She was running from the Lord. Eventually, she and my father both got saved, and their lives changed, and mine certainly was. But even as a young girl in a Baptist youth camp, I remember the night that I fell on my knees, and I felt like that we were going to do where I was going to get to work for the Lord in a different country. And that has always stayed with me. I love mission work. We've been able to do mission work. We've got friends here from our church that made it possible for us to go on numbers of mission trips. And I'm so thankful for the experiences, so thankful that God fulfilled the dream of my life. And now another dream that I never thought of. And we are so excited. We're believing God for mighty things and just excited to see what he has in mind, because you know, you never know about him. And I'm just praising him and thanking him. Thank you, all of our friends that have got to come today. You mean the world to all of us and all of our family here at CFTN. Pastor Maiden and Bob and Debbie and just everyone. I'm looking at you so you'll know. We love all of you. We be grateful for your prayers and for, and we're so grateful for your love and your acceptance.
Praise the Lord. Amen. June 21st, we will celebrate 53 years of marriage. She actually heard me preach my first sermon. That was when I was 10. It feels like it was another lifetime ago, I can assure you of that. But God has blessed our marriage and blessed our ministry, and we're so excited about what God is doing and what God has for us. Our journey to Puerto Rico is kind of interesting. I'm going to take a few minutes this morning just to share out of my heart, and then I've got a word for you from the scripture. But our journey to Puerto Rico started in kind of a strange way. Some of you have heard me tell this story, but because of Bob and Debbie's time in Puerto Rico and their connections and roots there, some people think we got started there because of Bob and Debbie, and that would not have been a bad thing if that had been the way it started. But it actually started in kind of a strange way. I'd been praying for God to open doors and increase my borders, and kind of praying that prayer. And so I got this invitation from the president of an organization called Father and Family Coalition of America. And the purpose of this group is to strengthen fathers, and they work with all kinds of nonprofit organizations as well as for-profit government agencies, all kinds of different kind of agencies. It's kind of a training the trainer kind of a program for that. And so I got an invitation. Now, James was in the first service. I don't know if he hung over for me to embarrass him in the second service or not, but I don't see him. Anyway, James had invited us to come and be a part of the conference in Puerto Rico. It's been about a year and a half ago or so, and the invitation was rather strange. I was invited to come and teach an hour and a half class at my own expense to fly to Puerto Rico, pay for my own hotel room, speak for an hour and a half, and come back home. And so I looked at this invitation, and I ran it through my business model, and it didn't fit my business model. I said, this doesn't make financial sense for us to do this. So I told Sharon, I said, well, I'd love to do that, but I don't want to put out that kind of money and for that kind of a trip to speak for an hour and a half when I don't even know if anybody's going to come to the class anyway. And so Sharon shows up most of the time in my life as the Holy Spirit. I don't know the difference sometimes between the two. She said, well, I thought you were praying for your boundaries to be enlarged. And I said, well, I was, but not at my expense. I have a different business model that my boundaries get expanded by his expense, not mine. And I said, but she said, well, I think you ought to do it. And I said, okay, we will do it. So Felicia went with us. Paula went with us. Paula got to teach a class for there as well. And we went and spent a whole bunch of money for an hour and a half class. At the end of the class, there were some school teachers in my class. And these school teachers went immediately to the president of the Teachers Association in Puerto Rico, which constitutes about 25,000 members. And she's the head of this Teachers Association. And they went to her and said, we would love you to have this guy back. And somehow they convinced her. And she came to me and said, well, we would like to have you come back and do some training for our leadership. Could you do that? And I said, sure, absolutely. And I'm thinking 6 months, next year. And she said, in 3 weeks. I said, sure, we can do that. So I told Felicia, I said, we got to put all this together in 3 weeks and get this done. So we got busy, went back in 3 weeks, and we spent about 3.5 days doing training for some of the upper management level of the Teachers Association, and God showed up. It's one of those kind of deals. We went in. This was not a church setting. This was a, quote, secular setting. So we went in without wearing our Christianity on our sleeve and not using a lot of Christian language. We just went in to present what God gives us to present. And, you know, God's amazing because he knows how to show up without our help. So during the class, there was just this powerful, powerful presence of God. It was about the second day, and we were kind of in the middle of it and teaching some of the same stuff that some of you have been through in my seminars and understanding others by understanding yourself. That's what we were teaching. And I had not mentioned God. I hadn't used any church language whatsoever. But one of the teachers just got overwhelmed. Great spirit-filled lady. She jumped to her feet and said, I know you can't say it, but I'm telling you the Holy Ghost is all over this room. Isn't that cool? Don't you love it when God announces himself? Well, it turned into just a very, very powerful meeting. And we have done now about, I've lost count, maybe 6 different trainings for this group. And now the lady's name is Ida, that's the president of it. Ida has introduced us to the Department of Education in Puerto Rico. And then we've done quite a bit of work with a number of pastors that we're going to continue working with in Puerto Rico. So using a little CFTN language here, we're going to Puerto Rico to take 2 mountains, the church mountain and the educational mountain. And we got a little crack, and God knows how to do this, but I just got to say it. We got a little crack, a little crevice that we kind of got our finger in the government mountain there beyond the Department of Education. So we believe God is going to blow the doors wide open for us to impact the island of Puerto Rico and beyond with the DNA of CFTN and all that God has given us in the life impact as well. And God has just set this up in such a powerful, powerful way that I don't even have time to go into all the details. But I can tell you this. When you say yes to God, He will accelerate things very quickly. We came back last January, or actually we came back in February. We'd spent a month there in January, early February. We came back, had a meeting with Bob and Debbie, and in Debbie's prophetical high D way, she said, "What are you doing here?" And I said, "Well, I'm not real sure why." And she knew very well what God was doing, and we had this conversation. And I said, "You know, we need to say yes to what God is doing in Puerto Rico and beyond." And so we made a commitment that day with Bob and Debbie, and then, of course, Pastor Mary and Pastor Mike, that this is what we would do. Well, things exploded very quickly. My first concern, anybody here like me that you're trying to figure out what all the ifs are? What if, how am I going to do this? I'm thinking, I hate garage sales. I hate yard sales. I got a house full of stuff we got to figure out how to get rid of. And, what do we do? And I got when I had put on something about on Facebook, we were going and liquidating, and I got a text message from some people that said, "We would like to buy everything you have. From your tea towels to your furniture to your TVs, we want it all." I said, "Okay, somebody's trying to get me out of here." So they literally, April 1st, came, we loaded up everything in our house, and they took it all away. Literally everything. And I didn't have to garage sale or yard sale anything. They took it all, which was a tremendous blessing to them and to us. And then cars. I don't know what we're going to do with our cars. I hate selling cars. Anybody here like me, you hate selling cars? And anybody know how hard it is to sell a car you owe money on? You know, you generally owe the bank more than the car's worth at that point. God just started working that out, and so easy, it was scary. In fact, the person that bought our Ford Escape that we have, the person that bought it said, "I'll buy your car, drive it till you leave. If you need to, I'll take you to the airport." So we've been driving his car, putting miles on somebody else's car. When you say yes to God, you open up things you don't even know you're opening up. I haven't told anybody else this, and I don't even know how this works. I'm just telling you what happened. My family, my children, my two daughters and their families, they had kind of been stuck in their jobs, and things weren't moving like they wanted them to move, and everything was kind of stagnant, and we'd been praying and praying and praying. I hadn't even thought of this till the other day. I was driving, and the Lord just brought this to my attention. After we said yes, and our household stuff was sold, and our car situation was taken care of, and all of that, my oldest daughter calls me and said, "Dad, I just got the job of my dreams." Now, my daughter loves working with autism children, been trying to break into that community for a long time, hadn't been able to get in. It's a very close-knit community, hadn't been able to get in, and God just opened a door wide open for her to step into one of the most prestigious groups in California that work with. They're training her, developing her. She'll come out of this in a couple of months. Yes, give God a praise offering. She'll come out of this in about 6 months with another master's degree in behavioral health, and she thinks she's just died and gone to heaven working with these children, and she's gifted in that area. And then she calls me the next day and said, "Dad, guess what? Keith, her husband, said Keith just got his dream job. He's been wanting this for years, and it's never opened up to him. And now he is stepping in. He's in the unions, but now he is training people. That's his dream job. He's got it for as long as he wants it, and he's making more money than he ever made doing the other job, and he made pretty good money doing that. Go ahead, give the Lord a great big praise offering. When you say yes to God, you're not just saying yes for you. You're saying yes for everybody that's in your line, in your covering. Then my youngest daughter, who had came to an agreement with her employer that she would no longer work there. And so she was out of a job, and then she's putting out her resumes and everything, and she was wanting a particular kind of job, and God opened a door, and she signed a contract this week with a company in San Jose, California, going to be making double what she was making from the other job. See, yes blesses everybody. Yes blesses everybody. My grandson been working in the trades. He's been back east wanting to get back to California, but they told him there wasn't any possibility of that happening. And then all of a sudden, after we said yes to Puerto Rico, I don't know what the timing on this is. I'm just telling you what happened. The doors opened for him to move back to California where he wanted to be. Got a great job doing great stuff. I'm just telling you, when you say yes to God, you are blessing your whole family. God's blessings. So here we are. At 72 years of age, getting ready to write a new chapter in the life of the McRaes. And we got some awesome people that are standing behind us and with us. And I thank God for those that God has put into our life. And I just want to say one person in particular this morning that has come alongside Sharon and I and has walked with us through this process and will be assisting and continuing to serve with us in Puerto Rico, and that's Felicia, and I thank God for her and her commitment. Really took a lot to convince her to move to Puerto Rico with us. But we thank God for her and all those that have just poured into our lives. And we're not through at CFTN. I promise you that. We've got many things yet to come. As God continues to move. I told those in the first service something that happened. It's been 2 or 3 years ago now. The Lord gave me a vision, and it was a kind of a, I actually can't believe whether it was a dream that I had while I was asleep or something that I saw in prayer while I was awake. But the Lord gave me a vision that Sharon and I was walking along a beach, and that's one of our favorite things to do is just walk on beaches, and we were walking along a beach, and I'd gotten ahead of her, which is generally the case because she likes to stop and look at stuff, and I just want to keep moving. But I'd gotten ahead of her, so I was stopping, waiting for her to catch up with me, and I saw in my vision, I saw this pathway coming up out of the water. It was like this submerged pathway. It was really wide, and it was cobblestone for some reason. I don't know what that was about, but it came up out of the water, and you could see it about an inch or 2 inches below the water, but it came out far enough that you could walk on it if you would, and it led to an island that I could see out in the ocean, and all I could see was the tops of trees and the tops of some houses, so I didn't know exactly where it was or what it was. So I asked the Lord, I said, what is this about? And he said, I'm going to take you on a path you have never seen to a place you have never been. So I've just kind of put that in the back of my mind. I haven't chased that. If that was from God, I knew he would reveal it. So I was reminded of that after our trip to Puerto Rico, the path that I had never seen, being the Father and Family Coalition, to a place we had never been. Now, we had visited Puerto Rico back in the 1970s at some point for a conference that was there. But as far as a place I had never been was the doors that are opening up there for us to be a part of. So I'm just telling you that to tell you God's been up to something for a long time. If you don't know it, God's up to something in your life right now. You may not see it, but if you'll pay attention to some of the signs that are going on, what God is doing a little of today, He's going to do a whole lot more of tomorrow. So the little things today is a sign of the bigger things that are to come tomorrow. So it may seem little to you right now, but God is wanting you to be faithful in the little so He can multiply it to much. So I want to challenge you today, pay attention to the little things that are going on in your life. Felicia just texted me and said, reminded me of the cobblestone streets of old San Juan, which we love to walk on. So when we pay attention to the little things that are going on in our life, it's a sign of the bigger things God's wanting to do later. If you dismiss the little things, you're dismissing what God wants to do later in your life. So don't dismiss the small things. Pay attention to the small things. When we were pastoring, and I think most of you know this, we pastored as senior pastors for, everybody say this with me, it's hard for me to say it, 40. Everybody say 40. We pastored for 40 years before, when we resigned our church in 2007, thinking that we were retiring. That was kind of fun because we had everything in place to retire, and then 2008 hit. Anybody remember what happened in 2008? And so much of what we had invested in was gone. And I said, okay, God, this is going to be interesting to see what you're going to do now. But he has taken care of that abundantly, and we thank God for that. But in 2007, I was pastoring not too far from here, and I had a great church, great staff. Everything was wonderful, but I was miserable. Anybody ever felt that way? Everything looked good, felt good. It should have been good, but I had another dream. I had this dream, kind of weird dream, but I had this dream about an aquarium, and there was a fish in the aquarium, and he kept bumping his nose against the glass, thinking there must be a bigger world out there than what I'm in. And so I knew that I was the fish in the aquarium, and the world that I was living in, my denomination, was my aquarium. Now, it wasn't a bad aquarium. It was just somewhat of a small, limiting aquarium. And then Joyce, who attended, we were their pastors for 19 years, Joyce comes to me and said, Pastor, I had the funniest dream about you the other night. And I said, what's that? She said, I dreamed that you were in an aquarium. And somebody took a big hammer and smashed the aquarium. And you were just flopping around out on the floor. And she was laughing, and I said, Joyce, that's not funny. You don't know what's going on here. That's not funny, because that is exactly what happened. My aquarium got smashed. And when your aquarium gets smashed, guess what? You do a lot of flopping. So I was flopping in a new world that I didn't know what was going to be. My youngest daughter suggested that we attend CFTN. She had visited a few times, and she said, Dad, you're going to like that church. And I said, I can't go to that church. She said, why can't you go to that church? And I said, because that's an independent church. They don't, and I don't go to independent churches. She said, Dad, I think if you just attend. Now, you got to know my daughter, my youngest daughter, she won't shut up until you do what she's asked you to do. So I decided, okay, just to shut her up, I'll go one Sunday. Well, I went one Sunday, and I kind of liked it. I liked what I heard, and I liked what I felt, and I liked what I experienced. One of the things that impressed me the most was the worship. Everybody worshiped God. I tell you, CFTN is unique, and you've heard other people say this. CFTN is unique. It's not just the people on the front row that's worshiping. You worship from the front row to the back row in this house. And that's a powerful, powerful thing. So we went another Sunday. And we went another Sunday, and we went another. 3 months later, the Holy Spirit shows up again in Sharon and says, if you don't introduce yourself to Pastor, I'm going to tell him who you are. So I said, okay. And I've been kind of hiding in the pew. If you're here today hiding in the pew, God knows where you are. And he's going to call you out at some point. And he's going to heal whatever needs to be healed. He's going to fix whatever's broken that needs to be fixed. And he's going to fill up any empty place that needs to be filled. Because you're in a safe place. You're in a safe house. Are you hearing me this morning? I said, you're in a safe place. You're in a safe house. If you're a broken pastor this morning, I'm telling you, you're in the best place you can be this morning. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. You're in the right place. Everything is going to be healed. Everything. You're going to be better than you have ever been. Just hang with me for a moment. I get my composure. Your condition is not a surprise to God. Let me tell you a little story. I won't take the time to read it all this morning. I read the whole chapter in the morning service, but it's the story of the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. It's a great story. I would encourage you to go back and read it again. Jesus had been with his disciples and some of the people, and I love the way this chapter opens. They got in an argument about who it was best to be baptized by, John the Baptist or by Jesus or his disciples, because it said Jesus didn't actually baptize, only his disciples baptized. They were in an argument about which was the best. And if I'm just kind of reading between the lines, this is the McRae version, that Jesus got tired of that and said, I'm out of here. I'm going to go find somebody I can minister to. Because I'm not interested in their religious arguments. Can I tell you this morning, God's not interested in your religious arguments. God doesn't care whether you want to be baptized in the name of Jesus only or in the name of the Father and the Holy Spirit, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It doesn't make any difference in your salvation. Only one thing guarantees your salvation, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ. God's not interested in your arguments about his coming, about pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. If you don't know what any of that means, God bless you. You're better off. God doesn't care what you believe about that. That is not what saves you. That is not what keeps you saved. That is not what redeemed you. It is blood on the cross that makes all the difference in the world. It's not the name on the signpost of the church door. It's the blood on your heart that makes the difference. You're not cleansed by somebody's church name. You are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. It's not our righteousness. It's His righteousness. So rejoice in who you are in Jesus Christ and celebrate Him. Amen. If we get rid of our religious arguments and just go find somebody that needs Jesus, everything will work out good. And that's what he did. They were on their journey, and the Bible said he got weary. I like that. I like to know that Jesus got weary, because sometimes I get weary. Anybody here get weary? It's okay to be weary. Jesus sat down on the side of the curb of the well, and the disciples went in to buy some food at Taco Bell or someplace like that. And Jesus is waiting on them to come back, and a woman shows up. Now, by rule, by religion, he's not even supposed to talk to a woman that's by herself. And by rule and by religion, he's certainly not supposed to talk to a Samaritan. Samaritans were half Jewish, half Gentile. They didn't really know who they belonged to. And they had their own little city, their own little place. And they were just kind of exiled out there. You ever feel exiled? That you're just kind of out there by yourself and you don't know whether God shows up in a place of exile to minister to somebody he's not even supposed to talk to. How many know Jesus always broke religious rules? I sent Bob and Debbie a text recently, just thanking them for their love and their support and their friendship. And I told them, I said, you have taught me how to not be religious. Thank God for people that know how to teach you to walk out of religion and walk into relationship. Amen? So he's sitting there and this woman comes. You know the story. If you don't know the story, I encourage you to read it. This woman shows up, and Jesus asks her for a drink of water, and she's shocked that he, being a Jew, would even talk to her. The fact, number one, she's a woman. Number two, she's a Samaritan. And she said, why are you asking me? Why are you even talking to me? Who are you that you would even be talking to me? And so Jesus said, if you knew who I was, you would ask of me water. Now, she didn't know she was having the greatest encounter of her life. Sometimes we don't even know that Jesus is talking to us. But she was having the greatest, getting ready to have the greatest encounter of her life, because she was like many of us, all of us actually, who was looking for something but couldn't find it where she was looking. You can look for the right thing in the wrong place. There's a funny little story about a guy that was searching around on the dirt looking for something. And somebody asked him what he was looking for. And he said, well, I dropped my ring. I'm looking for my ring here. And he said, well, is this where you lost it? He said, no, but this is where the light's shining, so I'm just looking right here. I lost it over there in the darkness. Sometimes we're looking for the right thing in the wrong place. Now, if you know this story, she had looked for satisfaction in many places. It is revealed that one of the places she was looking for satisfaction was in relationships. Jesus said, go get your husband. She said, I don't have a husband. He said, you're right about that. He said, you've had five, and the one you're living with now is not your husband. Now, let me tell you, the church world I grew up in, she couldn't have gotten in the door. Five husbands and shacking up. She couldn't have gotten in the door. But Jesus didn't wait for her to come to the door. He brought the door to her. Oh, I could be ornery right now. I'm gonna abstain. That's what Lindsay and Kwame and Wade and Priscilla and the other team members are doing every day. They're not waiting for people to come in our door. They're taking the door to the world. Amen? Do you notice anything about this? That he is not judging her. He didn't say, shame on you. Shame is probably what brought her to the well in the middle of the day. The other women, according to the historians, said the women went to the well together of a morning. It was part of their morning ritual, part of their morning fellowship, talking as they went to the well and talking about life and everything. But she came to the well at what seemed to be an inopportune time. In the heat of the day, she came to the well. But the great thing here is that Jesus showed up in her shame. If she's going to the well because she is ashamed of what's gone on in her life, or that she has been rejected by the other ladies in the community, Jesus showed up in her rejected state. Jesus showed up in her shame state. Jesus will show up in your rejection. You say, well, I have rejection issues. Let me tell you, God will show up in your rejection issue if you'll pay attention that it might be him. Later she said, could this be the Messiah? Now, I love her open mind here. Because she's having an experience that's outside of her religious training. Now, she wasn't without religious training. Don't misjudge her. She was a Samaritan. They had religion. Their religion was the first five books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. She knew those passages. That was their religion. The Samaritans just believed in those five books of the Bible. That was their denominational significance, to put it in some of today's language. They knew those, but they didn't know anything beyond that. And she's getting ready to have an experience that's beyond her religious training. I promise you, at CFTN, you're going to have an experience that's beyond your previous religious training. When you have an experience that's beyond your religious training, then you're on the road to transformation. When you have transformation, you have a renewed mind, a new attitude, a new belief system. You break through your limiting beliefs. See, she had religion, but it was limited religion. Let me tell you, religion will always limit you. Relationship will always take you beyond where you've ever been before. That's exactly what is in store for you. If you're new to CFTN, buckle your seatbelt and ride it out. God's got some great things ready for you, and it's going to happen. Well, in our religion, they didn't teach divine healing. Get ready. In our religion, they didn't teach about speaking in tongues. Get ready. In our religion, they didn't believe in prophesying. Get ready. In my growing up, they didn't believe in signs and wonders. Get ready. You see, this is not a church. This is a kingdom church. Churchy churches draw lines and say, God, work within these boundaries. Kingdom churches kick the boundaries away and say, God, do whatever you want to do. This is your place. Churchy churches want to make Jesus into their image. You see, the Jesus of the many churches is not the same Jesus that's in the Bible. I shared this with a friend of mine that's listening by way of the internet this morning. Jerry, we're proud of you and what God is doing in your life today. And I just want to give you a shout out to you and Karen, two amazing people that's gone through some of the most difficult trials. And God is just doing powerful things in their life. And Jerry just recently just made a commitment to literally letting Jesus into his life in such a powerful way. And Jerry, we're proud of you, and God's got great things for you. Don't give up. He's got a new knee for you. If the doctors can't fix it, God will. He's laying in a rehab facility right now. They've taken his knee out and going to put in another replacement knee. And he's had some infection. He's been battling that for weeks and weeks. And wouldn't it be amazing if God just put in a new knee? Wouldn't it be amazing if God just put in, did a creative miracle this morning and put in a new knee? What man can't do, God can. Wouldn't that be just amazing? Some of you think it would be, others not sure. Well, it's a little scary there. And here's what I like about the woman, this Samaritan woman. She left her pot. Now, I kind of got hung up on her leaving her pot. She'd brought this pot to the well to get water. And then after her encounter with Jesus, John's very specific about the fact that she left the pot. And that's amazing to me that he would give us that little detail. But when the scripture gives you detail, it's for a reason. She left her pot. This was the pot that she carried water back to her house with. But she left her pot, ran into the city. And here's what's really cool. What kept her separated from the city was her shame. She left her pot and she left her shame. Because she went back into the city and said, come see a man that told me everything I've ever done. Now, how excited are you to announce to the city everything you have ever done? But when you leave your shame behind, it doesn't matter anymore because you have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And it's not about your past, it's about your future. And God's more interested in your future than he is your past. He's got your past covered by his blood, and he's got your future designed by his will. Can you give him a great big praise offering this morning? Well, I'm glad for what Jesus did for me, but I don't want to tell anybody what he delivered me from. No, she was excited. She went back into a city that had rejected her, and now she has won the whole city to Jesus. Because they're all coming out saying, what happened to this woman? What happened to this woman? We want an encounter with the person that has changed her life. See, she didn't go in with a theological argument. She went in with an experience. People can argue with you theologically. They can't argue with your experience. Here's what the Lord has done for me. Here's what he did in my life. Let's see, does that fit my theology? He doesn't care. Let me tell you what Jesus didn't care about. Jesus didn't care that she was a woman. Jesus didn't care that she was a Samaritan. Jesus didn't care how many times she'd been married. Jesus didn't care that she was shacked up. Jesus only cared that she was hungry for him and that her soul was looking for him. And when her soul found him, everything else got taken care of. Whatever's going on in your life today, when you have an encounter with Jesus, he doesn't care about all those things. He doesn't have a roster of do's and don'ts. He's got one thing, and that's his grace and his mercy and his blood that will cover you and forgive you and give you a brand new beginning. I'm not going to Puerto Rico, Jamaica, or points there beyond with a theological argument. I'm going with the DNA of CFTN to tell them their world can be changed and they can change their nation. Give the Lord a great big praise offering this morning.
Hallelujah. Take a seat for just a second. You know, I don't have enough words to say how much I love Dr. and Sharon McCray. They're just incredible people. I know, you know, doing what we do here, a lot of times we have a lot of things we go through. And Dr. McCray's door has always been open to us. And, you know, as pastors, sometimes you can't say things to other people in the congregation. But we could just dump it out on him. He would just listen. More than anything, he just listens. And then by listening, then you figure out your own issues and know how to deal with it. So I've probably been in his chair more than anybody in this place. But anyway, I'm so grateful for who he is and what he means to this church, what he means to Debbie and I and the pastor, the maidens. But I happen to know that they have a need. And this morning I want to give you an opportunity to bless them. I know that they need a car. I know they have my car for right now, but I don't want them to wear it out before I get there. Just kidding. But anyway, I'd just like for us to be able to give quite a bit towards their car. Hopefully it'll be paid for today. So just hear from God and be a blessing to them, as they've been such a blessing to this house, and we want to honor them today, and we're so thankful for everything you've done for us here and going to continue to do for us here. So God bless you as you give into their ministry today. And Dr. McCray is going to come back in just a moment. Hallelujah. We bless your name, Lord. You are so lovely. Yeah. You can have it all, Lord. Every part of my world. This life and breathe on this heart that is now yours. You can have it all, Lord. Every part of my world. Take this life and breathe on this heart that is now yours. Oh, you can have it all, Lord. Every part of my world. Take this life and breathe on this heart that
so much for your giving into us and what we're going to be doing. We're going to Jamaica in June. Father and Family Coalition, we're taking this whole ministry to Jamaica, and it's a gift to Jamaica. We're not charging anybody in Jamaica anything. We're all going at our own expense to take this to Jamaica, and we've been talking with and working with some of the government officials in Jamaica, and they're very excited about what's getting ready to happen. More than 90%, or this sounds incredible, but 90% of the homes, the families in Jamaica are single parent families, and it's destroying that country. They have been setting goals to fix this, and Dr. James Rodriguez contacted me and a few other people that's a part of that and said, would you be willing to take what we do to Jamaica? And the powerful thing about this, we're going to be dealing with the leaders of Jamaica. And so God is going to give us some tremendous, powerful, open doors there. And we believe God is going to give us that nation, along with Puerto Rico and we're hoping later on to team up with Dr. Leslie and all that she's doing down in St. Thomas and all the other islands. I'm so excited. So excited. I'm going to ask the prayer team to come forward this morning. I've shared with you some things that's happening in our lives. But it's more important this morning what God wants to do in your life. What God does for one person, he'll do for another. He's not a respecter of persons, but he does respect the yes. And maybe there's something you need to say yes to that you've been saying no to. So I'm going to ask you to stand with me this morning and just stay in a spirit of prayer. Just give us a few minutes here for the Holy Spirit to minister to people and speak to their lives. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, I invite you just to come and tell one of these prayer ministry team members that you need to accept Christ. They know what to do. If you need healing this morning, just tell them what you need. They know how to pray for you. You may need to